You're listening to the Dad Bod Golf Pod with Kyle Rush and Ben Taylor.
What's up, everybody? We're back again. It's episode 284 of the Dad Bod Golf Pod. It's Kyle and Ben. Happy Friday. Let's have some fun. We're ready to rock and roll. Tonight's episode is brought to you by Bet Online, the number one sports betting website in the country. Sign up today. Use your coupon code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, and get a 50% welcome bonus. Give them $100. They're going to give you 50 back on top to play with for free. Stack it up and let's go win. You got NBA playoffs. You got Major League Baseball every single day. You got tons of stuff you can bet on, plus the online casino. It's a ton of fun. So sign up, have some fun. Bet Online is where the game starts.
Yep.
All right. Want to do a little bit more lighthearted type episode tonight instead of just diving into golf, like pro golf. There was a really fun video that came out on TaylorMade social media, and it's Scottie Scheffler and Tiger Woods. And they were, I assume it's one of those, like, TaylorMade does these days and maybe multiple days where they shoot a ton of content and then they just have promos for like the whole year, basically. And so Tiger and Scottie are sitting there, and Scottie just basically goes, "Hey, dude, what's up with the no taking divots?" And then the camera pans down, and it looks at where Tiger was just hitting, and it's like not a blade of grass was touched. And he goes, "What do you mean?" He goes, "Yeah, why don't you take divots?" And he goes, "Well," Tiger's like, "Well, why do you take divots?" And Scottie goes,
"Like, why the hell can't you swing and not take a divot?
What's Scottie your problem?" Scottie says, "I don't know. That's why I'm asking you." And then Tiger's just basically, he just goes, "Well, when I'm flushing it, I don't take divots." He goes, "It just is what it is. When I'm flushing it, in other words, what you just saw was me flushing every single shot.
I just striped your ass and you didn't even realize it."
Yeah, I just stripe showed you, and I never even made a blade. I've heard Darren Clark, I think it's either Darren Clark or somebody, tell a very similar story of whenever he was over in the playing over in the Open and warming up and like taking full swings, and like he said, just not a blade of grass was moved. Mm-hmm. And I always thought that was the goal, was to hit ball first, descending blow into the turf. I'm sort of blown away now. Like, I don't think, does this change things? Do I need to start doing stuff different? Like, what's the deal?
Listen, Kyle, you've seen me. There's a lot of times I don't take a divot, and I scold the piss out of it when that happens. I mean, yeah, it's phenomenal.
When I don't take a divot, it's an accident. Yeah. Yeah. I don't even know how to – strike a ball flush and not take a divot. How do you do that?
I don't know, because especially – I mean, I guess depending on how his clubs are set up, I don't know the specs on his club, but they tell you whenever you're hitting a – you know, when you're hitting a ball, like, you know, those, you need to hit it on, like, that third groove, which that means your club's got to be in the ground at least after a contact. It's got to be in the ground, because if you're going to hit it on that second or third groove, that first groove's got to be almost underneath the ball.
Yes, and so I'm calling BS on all this. I think it's a party trick. I think it's a party trick that Tiger does. There's also that video like that came out a while back, and it's like a 30-second clip of Tiger, or maybe shorter, of Tiger warming up, and it's like just shot after shot, and all you see is the club hitting the ball, and it's a divot moving its way back, like the divot's moving its way back, yeah. And then another divot moves its way back, and it's like just shot after shot after shot. So, I mean, was he just hitting it poorly that day?
That was a trash range session.
He had to go, like, you go back to the drawing board after that one, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, we're off the rails.
When I saw that video today, the first thing that I thought of was when he was taking his time off before. I don't know who she is. She's that lady that he always gives a lot of time to. Even when he's in his simulator, she visits with him. She's got a real big smile. She's British, of course, that reporter. And he's got her on the course, and she's having him hit, like, sweeping hooks and, like, sweeping cut, basically slices, going around, like, poles and stuff like that. I will say, that day, he didn't take a divot. Like, he was hitting those balls and swinging full speed and – whipping them around those poles and making it turn 115 yards left, and he didn't take a divot. So maybe that is a thing for him. I don't know.
So you think it's you? Do you think if he's like, I'm on a driving range and I'm just hitting a stock shot, I'm not trying to do anything? Do you think that it's like that's when I'm flushing it?
Hit the nail on the head, and I think it's a party trick because if that were the case, I think that he would be doing it in the middle of the fairway in a tournament.
Yeah, I mean, I can think of shots like I feel like I can just see Tiger like hitting and huge divots flying up, and I don't know. I just don't feel. I think it's a party trick.
I think it is. It's a hell of a party trick.
It for exactly what just happened. Scotty, yeah. for he'll get somebody like he did it with Darren Clark. I think it's Darren Clark. I'm pretty sure it's Darren Clark.
I think it is.
He did it with Darren Clark. He's done it with Ty, and now he's doing it with Scotty Scheffler. I think it's a trick. I think it's a trick.
I will say this. If you will go watch that video again, people, if you have not seen this, go watch, or if you have seen it, go watch it again. Don't look at anything but Scotty Scheffler's face the entire time.
He seems dumb.
Because he looks utterly confused at what just took place in front of him.
Oh, it's dumbfounded.
He's like, he's staring at Tiger. He goes, hey, what's up with the no divots? And then Tiger's like, what do you mean? And of course, Scotty, the look on his face is like, what the hell? What do I mean?
You just hit.
An opportunity to go watch it. Watch nothing but Scotty's face. This is part of. I've seen videos. This is part of that same session from about 6 months ago, because they're wearing the same clothes and it was a tailor-made video.
Yeah,
and they were hitting wedge shots and Tiger was trying to tell him how to get up and down when the pin's close and trying to tell him how to put what kind of spin on the ball, and instead of using a 60, use a 56 and open it because the grooves are better. All this kind of stuff. And so they've done this. So I'm like, it's like you said, it's one of these promotional things where they're there for probably 3 days and literally stand out on the range for probably 10 hours a day shooting content.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's another thing. He's not played in a while. Are we sure that he could sit there and strike? I mean, come on now. Not one miss hit. Come on.
I mean, Super Devil's Advocate. Was that whole thing rehearsed? Was that real life?
I don't think Scotty Scheffler could act that stupid. No, I think that is. I think
he is a good actor because he looked absolutely like he looked dumb. Like
even after the explanation was given, and Tiger's like wiping his face from sweat and is like paying attention to the next guy shooting, Scotty's still staring at him like, this is not real. Like you're not telling the truth.
I've never like really understood the word dumbfounded, but like that is completely now I get it. Like there's no that like when you literally you're so blown away by what you're told, it turns your whole world upside down and you have no idea how to respond. That's exactly what happened. It's hilarious. Ben, could you play if you played around and did not take one divot? What would you shoot? Could you break 100? I don't think I could. I think I would top most and skull the rest.
I mean, you know, I guess not, because I think even not trying to take a divot, I think on some I'd still take a small divot. Like even, I mean, there was a guy that I used to play with. He used to run a car dealership in town before he retired. He didn't take divots. He swept the ball. Now, he also didn't play very well, but he did not take divots. I never saw him take a divot, but he caught a lot of balls thin. Like he didn't like taking divots. That was his issue. And so he tried not to. That was his whole purpose when he swung the club, was just to scrape the top of the grass. But he caught a lot of balls thin. And I just was like, why are you doing that? Like it clearly the lie dictates that you should take a divot here. Like, why not take a divot? And he just didn't. So yeah, I'd probably be like him. You know me, I catch the ball thin a lot anyway and still get away with it. And so, or what I consider thin. Some people are like, that's a good shot. I'm like, no, that was thin. So I still think that there are a few clubs in my bag that there's no chance. I can get away with not taking divots with maybe 6, 5, and 4 iron. I sweep those more than anything. But other than that, no. Anything below a 7, 8, 9, I'm taking a divot. Even if I'm not trying to, I'm probably taking one.
So how many people do you think after they saw that video, they're like, okay, that's what I've been missing. That's what I've been missing.
Oh my gosh. That's a terrible thing. There's no telling how many people were sitting out at the range.
I'm going to be one of them. I'm going to be one of them.
You're already a mental nutcase when it comes to this. Don't go out there and do that.
What if that's the missing link? What if that is the difference right there? My problem is I've been taking divots.
You want to talk about dumbfounded? Let's give a personal story here.
Okay.
Not the last time I played with Kyle, but the time before that, we go to the range first, and I literally looked over at him because he's got his club turned all sideways. He's hitting, and I said, "What the hell are you doing?"
You were dumbfounded that day.
I was dumbfounded that day, and he was like, "I'm trying to do this. I'm trying to do that." I was like, "Okay." Dumbfounded number two. We get on the first hole in the fairway and does the same damn thing. I just thought it was on the range that he was working on a drill. I didn't know that was carrying to the course.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah. I don't have to do that anymore. I'm good
so
now.
So dumbfounded twice, yeah. Like within 20 minutes.
I'm good now. I mean, I'm not good, but I just don't do that anymore.
Then you're going to sit here and you're going to go try to catch it and pick it clean for the next range session.
We're going straight picking. Like hit it off of hit it off the pavement, basically.
I will be shocked. It's going to be amazing if you do that. And out of, let's just say, 25 balls, 20 of them, you absolutely hit piss missiles straight. Like, nothing. I'm going to be shocked.
I'm telling you, it could be the game changer. I just don't see how it's possible. I feel like you have to lose distance.
I would think so.
You do or you don't?
I do. I would think you would lose. I would think, number one, I think I'd lose distance because I think I have to slow my swing down so much to try to pick it clean.
Yeah.
So maybe that's why. I don't know. And maybe that's the key to it. Maybe you're catching it in the screws because you are slowing your swing down. I don't know.
Who knows? I'm going to try it though.
I will say though, great video. If you get a chance, you guys go watch it. It's on TaylorMade. Zaire Goff tweeted it. I mean, everybody that's got an Instagram or Twitter has tweeted this video today. That's another thing TaylorMade does well when it comes to those content things that they do. I mean, how many times have Kyle and I mentioned Fargiveness? And that just is, they shoot 3 days of content and then they run the hell out of it for the next year on commercials and promos and tweets and Instagram, and every one of us buy in. We watch all of it.
Oh yeah, we do. Speaking of dumbfounded. So I logged on to my Bad Birdie app today and looked, and they had dropped 3, 6, 9, 10 new polos. I was dumbfounded. It's like, we're just going to continue dropping these new things, and they're awesome. I got my eye on one called 5 o'clock somewhere, basically. It says 5 p.m. somewhere, but I'm going to say 5 p.m. I got my eye on that one. A lot of good stuff. You guys got to check these folks out. Use coupon code DAD15 and take 15% off. And you're already saving, like, these polos are like under $80, and then you're going to take another 15% off. It's a no brainer. And they're constantly updating. They're constantly updating with new stuff. They have women's stuff. They got men's stuff. They got tops, bottoms. They got all kind of stuff that you can, all kind of hats. But anyway, check them out. Save big. Ben's got one of the new shirts on.
The
hot lava volcano shirt. I've got one of my new shirts on. I can't remember what mine's called. I think it's called like Dippin' Dots or something. I can't remember exactly what it's called. But anyway, love it.
And look, they go fast, so you should get one, because there have been times where I've ordered it, and they're like, "Go ahead and grab a different one because we're almost out of stock with that one." So they go fast. Like Kyle had not even seen this one, and they're already their limited supply with the lava. So you go and grab you one.
Mine's called the Drippity Drip. How about that? So Drippity Drip. That's just perfect for me. So anyway,
I think Dippin' Dot sounded better, but go ahead.
Dippin', dripping, whatever. y'all check them out. Show them some love. Bad Birdie. All right. What was the second thing we were going to talk about?
You were going to mention Cam Young's video.
Yes, yes.
Because Grayson all right. sent us that.
This is the most amazing thing I've ever seen. And Grayson Huff sent it to us, and I had not seen it yet, but it's on, I think it's Golf Digest or golf.com's Instagram. It's Golf Digest. It's Cam Young, and he's hitting driver, okay? And he's taking 10 driver shots, okay? And what happens is he gets to the top of his backswing, and they call out a shot for him to hit. And I will be dadgum if he doesn't hit 7 out of 10. Description, okay? He draws back, and they'll say high draw, and he will hit a high draw. He'll draw back, and they'll say low fade, and he will hit a low fade. And, I mean, there's not – and then, like, this is what's crazy to me. Then they'll be like low straight ball. Like, how do you do – how do you even do that? How do you hit a straight ball? Like, it's got to have some kind of – and he does it. It's the most amazing thing. Do you remember when you're growing up and you played that game on the diving board, jump or dive? Do you remember that?
No, I didn't play that.
You know, so we used to play this game where you run and you jump off the end of the board, and in the air they say jump or dive. So if they say dive, you got to dive. So like you're trying to guess in midair. It's like it, to me, and so you end up belly flopping a lot, or you know, you try to guess what they're gonna say, and I mean. And he even said that one time. He's like, oh, I was trying to guess there. But, I mean, it's the most amazing thing I've ever seen, Ben. To pull off, like, 7 out of 10 of that and not just, like – and they're all different. It's not like you're hitting the same shot over and over. He was hitting – he hit every single shot that there was. Like, it was – I was just – I don't even know how that's real. It's got to be fake.
It's not. It's not fake.
It's not.
The reason I say that is because this is what I was going to shock you with. This is what I told you is different. And this happened about 2 or 3 years ago. And I'm wondering, I've looked it up. I can't tell yet. I'm going to have to do some research if it's the same coach. Jordan Spieth did this on the range with his coach a few years ago.
Yeah.
This was like before Instagram becoming big. He did it with an iron, though. He did not do it with a driver. So I think the driver is actually more impressive than the iron. Yeah. But that's what he would do. He would get back with his iron and the coach would be back there. He's like high cut. And so he'd have to hit a high cut, you know, he'd get back there and he's like low draw. And he'd have to hit a low draw. And so I've seen it before, but I've not seen it with the driver and for him to pound it out there that far. Like Jordan was doing it with like an 8 iron. And so not that that's easier. I'm just saying it's easier to control a friggin' 8 iron in your hands than it is to control in my opinion, a driver in your hands.
Well, yeah, I mean, I feel like you're the only pro to the driver is it's on a tee. So that's a little bit, you do get a little bit of benefit of that, but you're swinging harder. I guess the 8 iron, you can kind of lay off of it a little bit to be able to do it. But I was just, I mean, Ben, you get 10 shots. Okay.
All right.
You get 10
shots. You're standing behind me.
How many are you getting out of 10?
At least one, because at some point you're going to say, Ben, low cut, and I'm going to hit a low cut. And then the rest of the time you're going to say, Ben, high draw, and I'm going to hit a low cut.
Low cut, nailed it.
You're going to be like, Ben, straight ball, and it's going to be a low cut. And then you're going to be like, Ben, snap hook, and I'm like, low cut.
Yeah.
So
low burning cut. Yeah.
Low burning cut. That's going to be the entire session. I'm going to completely fail. I'm going to make on my test. I'm going to make a 10 out of 100. I'm going to get 1 out of 10 correct.
There you go. 1 out of 10.
And that'll probably be the one that I do hit straight when you call for the low cut. Cause you've seen how that one damn hole in AU club every single time where I never cut the ball. I always hit it straight as a string. The one with the ditch in the middle of it.
Yeah.
Never fails. Aim at the ditch. Don't cut it. Just hit it right in the ditch. That's just the best thing to do.
Low straight. You got a shot at low straight ball and low cut. You got a shot at that.
That's about the only two.
If I said toey draw, you could probably do that one too. you might could toe draw one out there too.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no chance with me. I am high balloon fade. Is the only thing I got. Only thing I got. That's the only shot I got in my bag.
Listen, the good news is we know what our ball does. That's the good news. The bad news is when they say, oh, you got to shape that shot. I'm like, yeah, I'm fixing to shape it. This is a draw hole. Don't care.
DJ, no.
How close to the trees can I get on that draw hole to bend it back?
DJ said never, never do it. Nope.
Yeah.
If you can hit a fade, hit it every single time.
Yeah.
He's my hero. So we're going to
DJ said it. Jack Nicklaus said it. Everybody said it.
I legit think I might hurt myself in that. Here's what's impressive to me is that his backswing is the same every time.
Yes.
So
he's adjusting the face on the way down, isn't he? He's got to be adjusting the face on the way down.
He is
using his hands.
He is manipulating. See, I guess in my mind, and it may just be me, you know, if I want to draw, I know I got to drop it inside. So I have to take it outside a little bit more to drop it inside, like a reverse, like a figure eight almost. And if I'm going to slice it, I'm going to take it inside and come over the top. Well, he's just going straight back every time. He's just going straight back, and they're going low draw. I would probably hurt myself trying to do something from there. But like, that was just the most.
I know what I would do. I would do a bunch of chunking runs because you would yell something at the top of my backswing, and I would try to adjust, and I just drop my back shoulder and just drop kick every.
Shot tracer and try this.
Yes.
And just do it just for fun and just try it. I think that'd be hilarious because, I mean, it's incredible. Those guys, like, that's the most incredible thing I've ever seen. I mean, I've seen people be able to, you call out a shot and they can perform it like flawlessly. Like, I've seen Tiger hit like 50 yard rope hooks in, you know,
yeah, but they call it out beforehand. He's done that, and he gets up because he's able to set his feet. Like when he had that lady on the range with him, that was the thing. Is she said, "I want you to hit a rope hook, and I want you to bend it around that pole," which is literally like a 70-yard draw. Yeah. Is what it was.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he literally had his feet. He had his stance closed. He had his left foot way out in front of his right. He had the ball on his back foot. This, you're set up regular. And somebody yells it out when you're at the top of your backswing. Like, that's – you don't get to set your feet. You don't get to adjust your hands. Because that's another thing you saw Tiger do. Like, whenever he did that on the range that day with her, when she called for that rope hook, he drops that strong grip. He drops that right hand back, you know, as well. And you can't do that when you're at the top of your backswing. So that's what makes it impressive. As I said, I've only seen Jordan Spieth do it. He did it with a 6, 7, or 8 iron. I can't remember what it was. I honestly, after seeing both videos, I think Cam's is more impressive. But it's still, to be able to do that, take your regular swing and your regular stance with your regular hand position, and at the top of your swing, them give you what you need to do, and you got to make adjustments from there on your way down. Because it's not like you can just get up there and stop. Like, you're on your way down.
It's incredible. It's incredible. Yeah. Something else that's incredible that we love are our Blue Tees rangefinders. Guys, we can talk about it till we're blue in the face. There's no reason to pay $500-$600 for a rangefinder anymore. There's just not the technology is been mastered from
in
a lot of different places, a lot of different manufacturers, but Blue Tees offers a very, very, very competitive rangefinder at an unbelievable price. The Series 3 Max, you can get it now for like $270, and you can save another 10% by using coupon code DADBOD. I mean, you got the toggle on and off slope, you got the scan mode, you got the magnet already built in, the buzz lock on. I mean, it's just hard to beat. And they send you a couple extra batteries with your pack. I mean, that's a bonus because those batteries are hard to find. It's just, I mean, there's really no reason to pay full price. They got a player pack that includes the Bluetooth speaker, a divot tool, a mag hub, all kind of stuff for $329. So, I mean, that's basically
like less than what you pay for a regular rangefinder.
Yes, a Bluetooth speaker. That's awesome. A divot tool, a rangefinder, the mag hub that you can that will, it's like another magnet set it won't stick to the card or something, I guess. I don't know. Or it's a more powerful thing that you can strap to the cart, you know, the cart deal, and stick the rangefinder to it. But anyway, $329. So check them out. Save big. Blue Tees Golf. That's where rangefinders start.
This is where they start.
All right. Last few things to talk about. Phil's still going in on the PGA. I guess this is the PGA of America now that he's going in on, or is it still the USGA?
He said PGA. It reads more like it's more like, I guess it is PGA. Who is it SGA that sets the qualifications for the upcoming major that we got going on?
USGA would be, I don't exactly know who he's talking. Make a long story short,
he addresses the PGA, but he's basically, again, he's back on the official World Golf Rankings rant. And the reason being is because three LIV players are ranked higher than Bo Hostler. Bo Hostler is getting an automatic bid into the next major, and three of the LIV players are not.
Right, right. I don't see how they're winning the collusion. I mean, it seems like
that's collusion to me. Yeah.
We figured out the definition of dumbfounded. I mean, this is the definition of collusion. Like, I don't know. I don't see how they keep winning these. But yeah, it's just a shame for golf that.
I'm glad Phil's taking a stand, and the reason being is because he's gone ahead and he's harnessed, since he's got that bad guy reputation anyway now, and that everybody hates him. Yeah. He's kind of sticking up for players, and I do like that, because he's sticking up for young guys too. He's sticking up for young players, and especially guys that are being mistreated and being kind of left out of certain things. But it is true. I mean, what he says in that tweet, he gives the world rankings of three of the LIV golfers. They're clearly 15 spots ahead of Bo Hostler. Bo Hostler gets into the next major, and the three of them will not be playing in the next major.
Yeah, and their world rankings are, like, falling. So they're actually way better than Bo Hostler.
Like, right.
They're actually ranked way higher than Bo Hostler, but their rankings will continue to drop because they're playing on the LIV Tour. So it shouldn't even be a question. It shouldn't even be that close. So it's a joke. Phil is all in. I mean, he is not holding any punches. So
I mean, he even says it.
He made everybody else a ton of money. So, you know, maybe this may end up being a very beneficial too. So
I do love what he says at the end, Kyle. He says, 3 years from now, who's most likely to still be here, Monahan or Liv? Ooh. In other words, Monahan's on his way out. And then he ends it with, we won't forget.
Ooh.
And so, I mean, this is dangerously getting close to, honestly, the way he points this out, Kyle, I mean, there is collusion. I mean, Tringali ranked 103, Munoz 111, Kokrak 110, all of them out. Hostler 128, he's in.
Doesn't make any sense.
I mean, the numbers are there. So the fact that, you know, you can tell that they're colluding. So I guess it is the PGA, because he's calling out Monahan and says that, you know, 3 years from now, who's most likely going to be around still, Monahan or Liv? I don't know that he should have said that, because I don't know that Liv will be around in 3 years, but
maybe.
But still, I see his point.
Yeah. Yep.
Thing I wanted to get to, Kyle, before we get out of here, I watched the PGA Works Men's Championship. It was held at Men and Women's Championship held at Shoal Creek and Bentbrook Golf Course in Birmingham. Men played rounds. Men played rounds one and three. It was only a three-round tournament. And they played one and three at Shoal. So it was good to watch, because Kyle and I have played there. Holes are very recognizable. So you get to see what kind of shots they're playing as to how we played them whenever we were there. The thing that stood out to me is, I didn't know this, is Howard University is a juggernaut when it comes to, like, HBCUs, because I don't know if you saw the leaderboard, and that's why I want to throw this out there to you, because you didn't ever comment on it. So Howard finished the tournament at 25 under. Guess who came in at number two? You don't even have to guess who came in at number two. Guess how close number two was.
I would be shocked if they were definitely not double digits under.
Maybe they weren't even under. They were 32 over. Howard won by 57 strokes.
The closest team was 30-something over?
32. Howard won by 57 strokes over the number two team.
What was this thing called?
In a three-day tournament. It is absolutely phenomenal. It is called the PGA Works Men and Women's Championship, PGA Works Collegiate Championship. Howard University finished at 25 under. North Carolina A&T came in at second at 32 over. It wasn't much different in the women. In the women, this pretty much the same thing. The winner was Texas A&M Corpus Christi at 12 over, and they beat Delaware State by 30 strokes.
Holy cow.
Now, the one thing that sticks out in my mind from watching this is Everett Whitten Jr. that plays for Howard shot 8 under at Shoal on the final day.
I saw one
stroke off from tying the collegiate course record. Somebody at some point has shot a 63. They didn't say who it was. And that was the thing, is I kind of felt bad for him because they were like, he's really going to be nervous on this putt at 18. And he was thinking about the team championship. And I'm like, they're winning by 57 strokes. He's not nervous over this putt. He's got a 12-footer. He just missed it. So yeah. there was no nerves. The win's in the bag. You just became champions.
Was Everett the one who was playing the par five, one of the par fives, and he was going for it in two, and he hit the ball and hit it right at the pin and picked up his bag to walk to the pin before the ball even had gotten close to the green? Like he hit it, picked up his bag, and started walking because he knew it was tight, and then he made eagle.
No, that was last year's national champion, Gregory Odom Jr., who came in second in the tournament. He finished at 5 under total for the, and he'd shot 1 under on the final day. But yeah, that I know who you're talking about. The video that went viral is the guy, he was the champion from last year and finished second this year. So he's good too. But Howard finished 1, 2, and 3 individually in the tournament. Everybody else was playing for whatever.
There was apparently a D2. There's a D1 men's and a D2. Hell, the D2 guys would have beaten a lot of the D1 guys.
Yes.
Kentucky State was only 6 over. Heck, yeah. That would have been – that's crazy. I did feel for
the kid from North Carolina Central because they showed a few shots of his. Kobe, I'm going to call it Narcisse, he shot a 92 on the final day out at Shoal. I've been there, done that, bub.
Yeah, I fired an old 92 out at Shoal. Like, I shot a birdie to 18 to shoot a blistering 85 up there.
Exactly.
Yeah, I hit like every fairway too. It was terrible.
Yeah, it was. Now it's different. They played probably even a little closer than you and I played from. I don't even think they played called? The member tees or whatever that
17.
We played.
They put 17. It was like 520 yards. Hell, we played it. It was like 600.
Yes,
that's whenever that dude told you.
Yes.
How far am I? He said a 3 wood. 2 3 woods or something like that.
Yeah, he said 3 7 irons.
3 7 irons. That's what it was.
I said, how far am I? He said 3 7 irons. My caddy did.
You were so far away.
I know. I was just joking with him too when I said it. I said, how far have I got? And he said 3 7 irons. And he never missed a beat and just kept looking at the hole like, oh, you want, bub, just go get it. I will say this. A lot of people don't know this. There is free tap beer between 16 and 17.
Yeah.
If you get a can out of the refrigerator, it's the honesty thing. You have to, the honor program where you have to write it down. But if you get the tap beer, that you get a complimentary beer at 17. Not one of those collegiate golfers stopped by that halfway house to grab a beer. I just wanted so bad for somebody to go over there and just let her rip, baby. Especially the guy that shot a 92. What are you doing, bub? Go get all the beer you want, man.
Or walking around drinking a canned Gatorade or something.
Yes.
Like that.
phenomenal.
That's great. That's great. It is cool to watch tournaments, golf tournaments of courses you played. That is actually that's really cool. Dude, that left pin on 17. Holy cow.
Yes.
Did you see that is a nasty pin. Holy cow.
When you played, where was the pin? I've played it there before.
Our pin was back right.
I've played it there before and actually got to birdie 17 when it was over there. But I actually had to chip in from where one of those guys was from behind the green.
That's a hell of a chip. Golly, that's a nasty pin. It was so bad. It's so nasty that I didn't even recognize the hole. And that's a very unmistakable hole. I was like, I don't remember a hole. I don't like with a slope like that falls off into the water. And then they pan back. I was like, oh my God, if you put a pin over there, it's impossible. And Smiley was like, that's the nastiest pin.
It is.
Pins out here.
I mean, your landing area is what, 15 yards from
you
front
do have
to back?
A little bit of a backstop, but it's like, you can't go long. You can't go left. You can't be short.
It may be 10 yards.
A million miles right, but it's just a really tough.
Oh, yeah. Right's wide open. But, yeah, I mean, then you're going three putt and could putt it off the green from the right side. So you can't bail out over there. And I was shocked. And it had to be with coach. That's another thing. Howard's coaching is just better at the club selection those guys were choosing. You know, on 18, everybody's pulling driver, and the Howard kids are pulling three wood because they're not even playing from the tees that you and I played from. They're playing from the up tees.
Yep.
So
hey,
that
it's time
it just
to go play Shoal again.
Yes, it is.
Almost
so there was there was just no need for them to hit driver, and there's so many guys that hit it in the water left and shot their right, just shot themselves right out of it. And so I just was shocked at that. I'm like, from those up tees, even somebody like you could probably hit an iron. And you still would have an 8 or a 7 iron into the green from down there, from those front tees. So, they just some club selection issues. And, I said that too on the par number 13, that par three, that's got that green that you can't see where you land the ball.
Yeah.
All of them were hitting it tight. Well, it's because they were playing from about 3 tee boxes up from where you and I play it from. And I was like, man, I'm hitting 5 iron into that green. These guys are hitting like 9 irons and 8 irons into that green. Totally different course when that takes place.
No doubt. No doubt. All right, Ben, enjoyed it. Y'all have a great weekend. We will chat back again on Monday. Tonight's episode is brought to you by Bet Online, and it's episode 284 of the Dad Bod Golf Pod. We're always.
You've been listening to the Dad Bod Golf Pod. Always stroking.